This is Jerry Bingham, host of Hush Loudly on WGN Plus.
The balance between observation and strategy is really what makes me very effective as a person. So I think it's a strength, and I think a lot of introverts don't give themselves credit for that.
Hi, this is Raven Webster, author of Introverted and in Charge, at Black Girls HBCU Survival Book, and you're listening to Hush Loudly on WGN.
Hi, you're listening to Jerry Bingham at Hush Loudly, where we always talk about interesting, amazing things in the world of introversion. And I have come across another amazing, fabulous young lady and was introduced to her book, which I feel like I needed when I was in college. And we're going to talk to her because she is a current student and she's going to tell us about this book. And we're going to have a little conversation about being a Black introverted woman. So Raven Webster is a junior at Jackson State University, Go Tigers, home of the Sonic Boom, all that, a proud Memphis native, and an engineering major who has learned to embrace her introversion as a strength. On campus and beyond, she's discovered that being quiet doesn't mean you can't lead, inspire, or leave a lasting impact. I know that's right, Raven. Raven is the author of Introverted and in Charge, a Black Girls HBCU Survival Book, where she opens up about her own college journey and what it means to navigate life as an introverted student at an HBCU. For those who don't know, that's historically Black college and university. Through her writing, she encourages other young women to take up space in their own way, reminding them that soft voices can still make powerful moves. Whether she's in the classroom, working on projects, or writing to uplift others, Raven continues to show that introversion and leadership go hand in hand. Welcome to Hush Loudly, Raven.
Hi. I'm so excited.
I'm excited, too. You know, it took me a long time to get to, I think, where you are now. You figured it out early because I didn't have the confidence when I was in college that you did. And I was still trying to, I'll say, mimic what I thought leadership and success was. And that was in people that were the complete opposite of me. So I thought you had to be more animated. You had to talk more. You had to do things you didn't want to do, go to things you didn't want to go to. Especially in my first job, there were all these things I went to and I was exhausted and I hated it. And it had nothing to do with leadership. It had nothing to do with my job and doing a great job at what I did. It was all sort of just this belief, you know. And so I love that we are debunking myths and we are reversing the stigma. And that is what this show is about as we talk about introversion. So we already know you're an introvert, but I always pretty much ask each guest if you're an introvert. We already know that you are one. But I want to know, when did you realize it? Did you have an assessment like in elementary school or high school? Because I understand they're doing that now. They weren't doing that when I was coming up. But when did you know or figure out that you are an introvert?
So honestly, I think it really hit me when I hit college. I always thought I was an extrovert in college, yet I never really went out. Not college, high school. Yet I never really went out. I wasn't the type to go out to go to parties or anything like that. I'd usually be with my, like, just small group of friends, and or sometimes it'd just be me. But as soon as I got to college, I thought maybe, like, what I was supposed to live, like, you know, the college TV life that you see where you're out every weekend or at parties every night. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why do they portray that? Like, this really isn't fun. It's not for me.
Right.
So for me... Yeah, like for me, I've really noticed that people also think that introverts never go out, but it's not true. I enjoy going out and being social, but I just like to do it on my own terms, like by myself. Mm-hmm. So during sophomore year, I'm a junior now, but during sophomore year, that's when it really had clicked. I took a break from everyone around me, including like my social media, and then I had changed my number, and I found so much peace in spending a lot of time by myself And honestly, just me and my dog made me realize how much I value a quiet space. So as a junior in college, I've embraced that side. I love being an introvert.
Wow, that's growth. That's, you know, you're very mature. I think that's pretty obvious, because I think there are a lot of us who are struggling in those junior years of adulthood as we're trying to figure out who we are and how to get that job and step into that career and make those decisions and grow. So kudos to you. Before we talk about your book, I want to ask, so you are in it, you embrace it, you know what an introvert is, and we know it's more about energy and how you gain or drain energy. It's not about being shy, quiet, antisocial. Some of us are quiet. It's depending on, even like you said, being social. I'm the same way. I don't want to hang out with 20 people. I want to hang out with two or one or by myself. And I am completely in bliss with that. I am so okay with it. And I'm managing it well. And it's also what people, you know, so it's like the right people will have me talking all day and all night. The right people, I want to hang out. We can spend the night. We can do this. The right people, I want to do all that. But it's just not everybody. So I would say we are just particular with our relationships. And not that we don't like people. Not that we are antisocial. Right. But we kind of know what works best for our energy and our lives. And I want to ask, before we talk about your book, what is your advantage as an introvert? Like, so have you figured out yet what your secret sauce is or what attribute works in your favor as an introvert?
Yes.
So you said that with a lot of energy.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. So I would say my best attribute is my attention to detail.
Yes.
I will tell people, do not overlook anybody who's quiet or anybody that's an introvert, because we're the ones you really want to be around. I observe first. So I tell people, like, first thing I do when I get in a room, I find my seat and then I greet, because I want to read the room. I like to observe, I listen, and it helps me read a room and understand people before I jump into an action. So that alone taught me not to, like, you know, move off of impulse, but to be very strategic. And it's been a big deal for me as someone who's stepping into the workforce, and me just as a student leader in general, because I take the time to watch and process. And I learned how to talk to people in ways with networking and connecting. And I usually can tell what a room needs in that moment. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I still have my moments where I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what to say right now. But even then, I will pick, like, usually I pick it up because I'm tuned in. And the balance between observation and strategy is really what makes me very effective as a person. So I think it's a strength. And I think a lot of introverts don't give themselves credit for that, because we are always paying attention. We are always listening. I promise you, my mom used to, well, she don't used to always say, but she still always says, you never know who's watching. And it's usually the quiet ones who are watching.
Yes. And you've touched on so many things that I talk about in this podcast. So I've conducted some research as part of my doctoral degree, and I interviewed Black introverted women by chance. That's what I wanted to interview. And I asked them, what are your greatest strengths? The number one thing was listening. And everyone had a million examples of how listening got them to leadership and helped them be the powerful women that they were. The number two thing was observation. Just what you said. While everybody is talking and doing too much, we are sitting there reading the room, observing and looking at what's really happening. And we're looking at body language and social cues and who's saying what and who didn't say what. And all of that helps us formulate information. And that has been something that has propelled us to leadership. The other thing was empathy and thoughtfulness. Those were the things that came up as number three and four, because just kind of what you said, it's like your strategy, you're thinking about, what can I do with this information? How can I plan this event, whether it's your family reunion, whether it's something in school, whether you're in the workforce? And that's what we talked about in this research. And that has continued to work to our advantage. So thank you without me even prompting you. That is what it seems like we all have. So introverts, if you all don't know that, you all need to listen now and know that that is absolutely a strength that works to your advantage, because other people are not listening. And that gives you the leg up because you are. Okay, so let's talk about your book, Introverted and In Charge, A Black Girl's HBCU Survival Book. Who was it for? Why did you write it? Tell me all that.
Okay, I love this question. So I put survival guide. So again, I wrote this book to get my voice out there because I felt like I wasn't the only one who felt this way in college. I'm a student leader, but you don't see my face out there. I'm not on, like, you know, Royal Court. I'm not an athlete. I'm not at the band. I'm not none of those. But, like, you know, I'm a little more behind the scenes, but I'm still here. So I use the term survival guide because I'm not necessarily telling you what to do. I'm telling you what I wish I would have known. So I like to think of it as a love letter to the quiet black girls at HBCUs who are trying to balance between being themselves with everything that college throws at you. So for the girls who don't always want to be the center stage, but they're still out here leading and achieving and growing. So I love it. Like, part of it is storytelling and advice. Part of it is reflection. What I wish I could have done, what I know I could have done better. I end all of my chapters off with a letter to somebody, whether it was to my past self, whether to it's my future self, whether to it's somebody who's been on my journey. I end every chapter off with that, and I love it because I didn't want people to just read it. I even added, like, a little activity. I want them to do something with it. And then, like, you know, because I'm me, I added little playlists and scriptures at the end because music and faith have really kept me grounded throughout my whole college journey. So I want the girls who are reading or whoever is reading to have the same tool. You know, I want to feel like I'm sitting down and talking to you as a big sister. I'm not a big sister.
Yes, you are.
But to the girl.
Yes, you are.
To the people out there, my nickname has become Big Sister Race, and I love it. I'm just the one telling you the truth.
You're a big sister and a little sister because, like I said, I think you're bringing the knowledge and presenting it in a way that people will get it and understand through your eyes, through your lens. So even, I'll say, for us who are older than you, we can learn from our little sister. And so we appreciate that you've done this and you put your whole heart and soul into it. Is it doing what you thought it would do? So your purpose, we understand, but has that realized? Is it doing what you thought it would do and wanted it to do, your book?
I really think it is doing what I wanted it to do. To me, my whole point was just letting people know that, you know, I exist, letting people know that we're out here and we exist. And the amount of messages I have gotten from parents, from people at different HBCUs, even people who go to PWIs, girls who are in high school, just getting ready for their college journey, starting their college journey, past alumni, it has outreached so much. And it makes me feel very good about myself at the end of the day because I know that I'm making a difference. And that's all that I wanted, was to make a difference and to let people know that, hey, like, we exist. I want people to feel safe. Like, this book has become my safe space. And, you know, it's just out there to let you know, like, you don't have to change who you are to survive or thrive here. Like, I tell people what I quote a lot for myself is leadership comes in so many different forms. You do not have to be the loudest in the room, you know, to put your voice out there, to make a change. And I am so glad that that point has come across to so many people. And a lot of people have reached out. And it's just amazing. I really am Big Sister Ray.
Yes. And I love hearing you said PWI. For those who don't know, that's predominantly white institution. I was going to ask that. So it isn't just for black girls in college. It is for anyone who can relate to this, because of course race does play a role in some fashion, but still what you offer is something that anybody could learn from, even our extroverted friends. So I know you're, I'm sure, yeah, tapping into introverts, but also our extroverted friends, to help better understand us and understand their sister and their mom or their colleague or their best friend. Your book definitely would help in that regard too. Do you have any advice that you would give to introverts that we haven't already covered?
I'd say, well, actually, I have two things. One thing I would say that I wish I would have told myself or would have known is that stop apologizing for needing space. And I learned that in college. Sometimes, even just especially as an introvert, people make you feel like, you know, being antisocial or like, you know, quiet is wrong or like something's wrong with you because, you know, you don't always want to be out and about. But at the end of the day, I tell people how protecting your peace is not selfish. It's very necessary. Yeah. And so don't let the world rush you into being somebody that you're not. There's a lot of pressure, especially in the college place, in the work field, to just constantly network and, like, you know, be on and say yes. But I, as a person, and I know as introverts, like, we move differently, and that's very okay. You know, moving with intention is like the best thing. So, you know, taking the time to think before acting, or, you know, making meaningful connections instead of just surfacing ones, because that's very, very powerful. So with the old folks, just stay down here. I'm in the South, so they tell me all the time, just keep living.
That sounds like some good advice. I told you before, my family's from the South. My mom is a graduate of Jackson State, so I know all about JSU. And I want to tie it back to when you were just talking about leadership and kind of your path is your path. So you don't have to kind of do what other people are doing. You have these strengths within you. And I just kind of want to mention, I try to mention this whenever I can, Oprah is an introvert. And I think that I saw her say it in an interview. And when I mention it to people, they're often shocked. And I'll ask why. And it's because they have this perception that introverts are not leaders, are not talkers, are not communicators, and not all that. But if you think about Oprah, she is so introverted. You know, it's like just even talking about how she didn't have a TV in her room. She's a voracious reader. You don't see her out kicking it like that. Everything about her screams it. But she is probably the most powerful one-name person. We don't even have to say her last name. And we all know who she is. And I think that with her show, she was passionate about it. That was her job. And she was serving, like you are, Raven. You are serving us. You are serving the community. You are serving people. And just like her, you're passionate about that. She was passionate about that as well. And other Black introverted women are Shonda Rhimes, who's behind, of course, Grey's Anatomy, Bridgerton, all these big shows. She is an introvert. Also Issa Rae, who I loved from her show Insecure, and she's written books. And Viola Davis, an amazing actor. And the list goes on, but just wanted to drop their names and drop some knowledge on people who are listening now who just may have no idea. So we need to wrap it up, Raven, but I hope to have you back. I'm going to have you on a panel. I got all kinds of plans for you, young lady, so just get ready. But tell us, how can people find out more about you, follow you, where to buy the book? Tell us all of that.
Yes, so I'm out on 3 global major platforms right now. I'm on Amazon. If you type in Introvert in Charge, I'll pop a purple book on the name. I'm also found at Books A Million and Barnes & Nobles.
Great.
And a way to reach out or get in contact with me, y'all can look up my name on LinkedIn, Raven, R-A-Y-V as in Victor, N as in Ness, Webster. And then I'm also on Instagram. On my Instagram, I try to post college tips, scholarships, advice, anything. And then I also talk about my book from time to time. I'm still working on managing content, but my Instagram is In Charge by Raven, R-A-Y-V as in Victor, N as in S.
In Charge by Raven.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you, Raven, for joining us today. And you have met a new friend in life, your new big sister. So just get ready.
I'm gonna call you.
Okay. So thank you so much for your book. Thank you for your heart and your passion and to helping others. And just thank you for extending yourself and for sharing what you shared today.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate it so much. And I'm glad our paths connected.
Yes. Aligned. Alignment. It was no accident.
Enjoying Hush Loudly? Please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts and wherever you listen to us. Did you know Hush Loudly has t-shirts? Yep, show the world you're an introvert without saying a word. We also have t-shirts for the extroverts in our lives who need us. Go to hushloudly.com/shop.